Now call to order this April 18th, 2022 regular meeting of Moorville City Council. We will begin this evening in prayer with Pastor Newton Brenneman from New Hope Christians.
Thank you, Mr. President. Let's pray. Well, Father God, I'm thankful that you invite us, you welcome us to go to you, to look to you in challenges and in celebrations. Father, I thank you, recognize you as creator, as Lord, as provider, and Lord, your word has promised us to provide us with everything we need for life and godliness. So, Lord, I thank you for these leaders, for the city government, and I ask you, Father, to provide what they need to make decisions that bring life and godliness, the health of our community. Lord, would you give them wisdom? Would you give them insight, grace? And Lord, your thoughts are higher than ours, Lord. Would you share your thoughts with them as they make decisions, as they meet challenges? Lord, we thank you for the grace for leading this city, and ask you to bless them, bless this meeting, bless the decisions and proceedings here. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much, Pastor Brown. If the clerk would please call the roll.
Hamburg.
Here.
Asparis.
Here.
Shanklin.
Here.
Larson.
Here.
Carr.
Here.
Mosley.
Here.
Wilson.
Here.
All present.
Thank you. Council should have received a copy of the meeting minutes from the regular meeting on April 4th of 2022. We have a motion to approve the minutes.
I move to approve the minutes.
Mr. Larson moves.
Second.
Mr. Asparis seconds.
Asparis.
Yes.
Shanklin.
Yes.
Larson.
Yes.
Carr.
Yes.
Mosley.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
Hamburg.
Yes.
All ayes. Motion passes.
Thank you very much. Next on our agenda is public comment. We do have public comment this evening from Mr. Tom Hosteller. We have 3 minutes available for you to address council, so please feel forward to step forward and let us know what you have to say. Mr. Hosteller, if you could please begin by the spelling of your name and your address for the record, please.
Yes, my first name is Tom. That's T-O-M.
Thank you. Last name
is Hosteller, H-O-C-H-S-T-E-T-L-E-R, 1991 Meadow Lane, Orville, Ohio, 44667.
You just lulled us into a trance, I think, with that voice as well. Thank you. All right. So.
I hope that continues.
Yes.
So. Mr. Mayor, Mr. President, esteemed council members, lovely Jean Gold, thank you for sharing some time with me again. I had the pleasure of speaking with you not quite a year ago in regards to the city's Phase 4 sidewalk project. My lovely wife and I live on Meadow Lane, as you now know, and I am once again speaking on behalf of many Orville residents in that area who are opposed to the Phase 4 sidewalk project. We have a petition with signatures from almost 90% of the residents on these Phase 4 streets who are opposed to this sidewalk project. That's 90% of the Orville residents living there. This petition was given to the mayor's office on September 15th, 2021. According to the City of Orville sidewalk installation policy adopted by Orville City Council on February 18th, 1997, nearly all the residences in the Phase 4 area fail to meet the criteria to need sidewalks. Many residents in our area are elderly and do not want the added physical burden of clearing winter snow from unneeded sidewalks. Some residents in our area are financially stressed due to COVID and do not want the expense of spending thousands, and in some cases in the area, tens of thousands of dollars for excavating and pouring concrete on their property. When my wife and I got married in 1979, we purchased a home on Viking Avenue. A few years later, the city of Orrville planted trees along the length of Viking Avenue. It was a pleasure for us and our neighbors to watch these trees grow, adding ecological and aesthetic value to our properties. Now the city's Phase 4 sidewalk project will destroy grass, flowers, and many trees, replacing them with dead concrete sidewalks. The Phase 4 sidewalk project would not be progress. It would be a step backwards for the image of our city and for the quality of our life. On behalf of our Orrville Phase 4 area residents, please vote to put an end to this unwanted and unneeded project.
3 minutes.
Mr. Mayor, Council President, esteemed members of the council, thank you for your time and for your earnest consideration.
Thank you, Mr. Hostetler. We appreciate you being here. Any questions or comments? All right, very well. Thank you very much. We'll move on then in our agenda to standing committee reports, and we will begin with our Parks and Recreation Chair, Mr. Handwerk. Good evening.
Good evening, Mr. President. Parks and Rec did have the opportunity to meet last week on April 11th at 7 p.m. We met for roughly 90 minutes, and what we covered was three main topics, including the projects that are currently underway. The first of which being the splash pad and the grant money that was secured to complete the splash pad and the bathrooms at the lower park, specifically focused on landscaping and safety and accessibility of that splash pad. The second component of the meeting was the possibility for a future skate park and pump track in the park on the eastern area. What we're looking at there is outlining a team of experts to help us outline what that project will look like and then identify funding and grant money to make that a possibility. And then the third component we talked about was the maintenance and the human resources needs of the park system. And that is all I have for tonight, sir.
All right, very good. Thanks very much. And our Utilities Committee, Mr. Shanklin.
Thank you, Mr. President. Utilities has not met, and therefore I have no report.
All right, thank you, sir. Our Ordinance and Personnel Committee, Mr. Larson, good evening.
Thank you, Mr. President. Ordinance and Personnel has not met. However, I would like to mention that a personnel ordinance will be coming up with D22 this evening, and I'll speak to that a bit more when we arrive at that.
All right, very good, thank you. Our Transportation Committee, Mr. Mosley, good evening.
Thank you, Mr. President. Transportation Committee has not met. I just have one little small little update with the team project. Obviously, currently, Boys and Girls Club, along with the help of some administration, Steve Wheeler and his team, are interviewing for a new team director to fulfill that role. Attendance currently daily at the Boys and Girls Club for after school still ranges somewhere between 40 to 60 kids a day. Also, that's in and out because these are, you know, we're talking about the teenagers between 5th and 8th grade mainly. Currently, there has been a team council somewhat established. It's going under the name, obviously, Torch Club, which is already a program that the Boys and Girls Club already houses. So all those programming and the structure is already there. 3 weeks ago, they held elections. Currently, they have two presidents. One is a female, one is a male. There's a VP of Operations, VP of Finance, VP of Programming, VP of Membership, and also VP of Operations. They're off to a really good start, and they actually requested to meet in our Chamber Council, or here in our Chamber Friday at 4:30, which I've not got a chance to talk to the boss over there about coordinating that. But with that, I have nothing else to report, Mr. President.
All those positions you mentioned, are those for the teen project, that board?
Those are actually kids that was established amongst each other. So they had elections among each other.
Okay.
It's kind of funny to see them show up after school every day to campaign. Kids that didn't even go to the Boys and Girls Club every day. They made it a point to leave track to go over and campaign and get kids to get their votes in.
Okay.
And all that good stuff. So it's amongst the actual kids that's kind of coming together.
Okay.
With that.
All right. Very good. Well, thanks for that update.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Our Health and Safety Committee, Mr. Espiras.
Thank you, Mr. President. Health and Safety has not met, and I have no report in that regards, but I will have some comments when we get to ordinance C-22.
All right. Very good. And our Planning Committee, Ms. Carr.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Planning Committee did not meet. However, I did attend the Design Review Board meeting on April 14th, and everything was passed, no problems.
That's always good at that meeting. There's a lot of things going on that portend future development plans going on.
Very interesting.
So appreciate you being there. All right, our Finance Committee, Mr. Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Finance Committee has not met. I have no report.
All right, thank you, sir. There are no special committee reports this evening, so we move on in our agenda to our administrative reports, and we begin with Mayor Hanford.
Thank you, Mr. President. Tom, I just wanted to say we appreciate your comments tonight. Personally, I don't agree with some of those, especially as far as making Oroville a better place. I think if you talk to any realtor anywhere, they're going to tell you that a walkable community is something that's very important, but also safety. We have kids in that neighborhood that walk to bus stops in the morning, part of the school year in the dark. So there's lots of reasons for this project, and that's why we're wanting to move forward with it. So just to point a few of those things out. And that's all I have.
Thank you very much. We'll move on to our Safety Service Director, Mr. Wheeler. Good evening.
Good evening. Thank you, Mr. President. Just an update on a couple projects. The park restroom project, the big brick masonry, is about halfway done. The good news is there's enough under roof that they're able to get started inside as well. So they've actually started on the interior electrical work. So the snow has not necessarily slowed them down much, which is a good thing. Concrete streets is actually, Mr. Lyle met with the contractor last week. They are scheduled to begin mobilization this week. I'm assuming that's after the snow arrives and leaves again tomorrow. So that's all I have for this meeting, sir.
All right, very good. Thank you. Our Utilities Director, Mr. Brediger.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just a brief comment over the weekend. We did have a couple of pretty good high wind events. Fortunately, we had a pretty minor number of customers out with that, but that was mainly wind versus trees and limbs and lost a couple along the way, but fortunately we didn't have a lot of limbs on the trees. Fortunately, we have a pretty aggressive tree trimming program that mitigated a lot of the problems that we could have had. Other than that, I'm yielding my time to our finance presentation.
Ah, yes, that's what we've all been waiting for all this time.
Yes.
So, our finance director, Ms. Trimbling.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'll save my comments for the long-awaited finance.
Yes, okay. Very good. Our law director, Mrs. Kirschry.
Thank you, Mr. President. That's a tough act to follow, but I have nothing further to add.
All right. Very good. Thank you. I have no report for this evening, and we have no old business on our agenda, so we can move right along to new business, and we'll turn it over to Mr. Larson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Ordinance C-22, I move this ordinance be placed on first reading.
Second.
Second, Mr. Hanford.
Shanklin.
Yes.
Larson.
Yes.
Carr.
Yes.
Mosley.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
Hanford.
Yes.
Espiras.
Yes.
All ayes. Motion passes.
Ordinance C-22, an ordinance opting out of House Bill 172 and reaffirming the ban on discharging, igniting, or exploding consumer-grade 1.4G fireworks in the city of Oroville, except as set forth herein.
Very good. This is an ordinance that is responding to some legislative action that the state took earlier this year, and so we are responding to that. Perhaps, Mr. Wheeler, would you like to explain a little bit about what's going on? Or yes, Mr. Spears.
Yeah, I don't mind.
Yeah, go ahead. Please, thank you.
Unless you wanted to, Mr. Wheeler.
You're welcome to go ahead, Mr. Spears.
So most of what I'll say, most of the administration and council is aware of, so this would be more for the citizens here. Just to summarize what the legislation is and what it would do if it's passed. So this is, as President Vance mentioned, in response to House Bill 172. And what that will do when effective July 1st of this year is open up the ability for consumer-grade fireworks, those 1.4G fireworks, on certain dates, which really didn't seem to have too much of a rhyme or reason to the council and then the group that was deliberating on this. And it provides the city some options. The first option would be to just ban it outright and go back to what we currently had in Chapter 565 of our codified ordinances, or allows us to take what is only in and permitted in House Bill 172 and kind of tweak that and restrict the dates as well as some times if we would like. And what we decided upon as a council with some input from both chiefs and the administration was to not necessarily reaffirm the ban completely, but to allow certain dates and certain times. And those dates would be the third, fourth, and fifth days of July. And then also the first Friday, Saturday, and Sunday before and after the fourth day of July, as well as add some time restrictions. And the times that we settled on, which was a very difficult decision to find a nice happy medium there, but we decided to go with between 8 a.m. and 12 a.m. midnight as the times in which that would be permissible only on those dates. Should this pass, this would all be in effect with House Bill 172 as of July 1st this year. There's also some other provisions that we didn't mess with or change, and we didn't have the ability to do so. Things such as it's got to be on the property owner's public property, or not public property, I'm sorry, private property, or you'd have to have permission if you're on someone else's property to discharge those fireworks. I believe I covered everything there. I definitely would take questions if we have them, if there's anything that maybe I missed. That's just a real quick overview, but I believe I covered most of it.
How can we communicate what the new dates are to the community?
I would say would maybe most likely we'll do an article both in the both in our Oroville paper as well as offer up that putting in the Daily Record as well.
That would be good because our restrictions are different from some neighboring communities, so people need to know what's okay in Oroville or what's not okay in Oroville, you know, might be different in a neighboring community. So it would be good for residents to keep up to date on where we are versus other communities.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah, also to mention that the ruling that the state allowed this was, I believe, 10 different holidays during the year, spread out pretty much all year long. We just felt like, even though there will be some people, just like the sidewalk situation, some people are going to be mad if we say we can't shoot them off in town. Other people, I think, will be very grateful that you're not going to have that going on 10 different holidays during the year for people to have to get up and go to work in the morning. There was no time schedule set on the state's original thing, so they could shoot them at 3 in the morning if they want to. And you can obviously find lots of problems right there. So that's why this council got together with the administration and tried to come up with something a little more reasonable. The 4th of July is kind of the traditional fireworks holiday. Some of the other ones, as Mr. Spear said, just really didn't make much sense. I thought the main one was Memorial Day weekend. They were going to use Memorial Day weekend for fireworks. And that just doesn't make any sense to me. So that's kind of where we're at with it. We hope that most people will agree. If they don't, there's other communities that will still be allowed to shoot them, and they're free to go there and shoot their fireworks if they want to. There's going to be other communities doing the same thing we are, too. We've seen 3 or 4, 5 different one of those come out and since we've talked about it, too. So we won't be the only ones. It's kind of a surprise that the state would come up with that one.
Yes, yeah, so it was 10 holidays, but a total of 21 days throughout the entire year.
Yeah.
And so as Mr. Spears led our group through, the council arrived at essentially the week of July 4th, you know, as the week that residents will be permitted to shoot off consumer-grade fireworks. So, yes, Mr. Wars?
Also, too, I wanted to point out that that's an 18 and over affair, right?
Correct.
And also, I wanted to mention it was wonderfully cooperative environment coming up with a set of rules, and when the state passes a bill like this, we have the opportunity to make things more restrictive to suit our local needs, and I think we did a great job of that, especially collecting data from different points. Chief Burkbeck brought in historical data from when the complaints of fireworks were even associated with 4th of July, and they were typically the ones in the late hours. Just as the mayor said, when people need to get to sleep and go to work in the morning, you know, babies need to go to sleep at night. So I think we did a good job of letting folks have their fun, but at the same time keeping it a minimum of disruption. So thanks, Rick, that you were a great leader in that charge. So.
Thank you. Can I add one more thing that just dawned on me? And this goes back to Mayor's comments at our last meeting. Just to clarify to you, this has no effect at all on the 4th of July fireworks show that the fire department puts on for us. This is completely separate. So,
this is the amateurs versus
the pros. Very well put.
Yeah. Any questions or comments? Do we need to pass this tonight in order to keep it on the timeline?
No, I would prefer this go the three readings, and actually, as long as we stay on pace and it goes the three readings, we'll still be fine. This still would be in effect on June 15th, even after the 30 days with no emergency. So
okay.
That'll allow the citizens, if they're just hearing about this the first time, to kind of reach out with any concerns or questions.
Yeah, very good. All right, thank you very much. Mr. Orson.
Ordinance D-22, I move this ordinance be placed on first reading.
Second,
Mr. Mosley.
Orson.
Yes.
Carr.
Yes.
Mosley.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
Hanward.
Yes.
Shanklin. No, Asparis.
Yes.
Shanklin.
Yes.
All eyes, motion passes.
Mr. Shanklin, I think you were gonna abstain on this.
Not until the final.
D-22.
Oh, okay.
That's what we're on.
Yeah, that's D-22.
Yeah, he can put it on first reading and he can vote to suspend. He just can't vote to pass it.
That was my thought, was he can vote to read it, he can vote to suspend the rules, but as far as passing it, he would need to abstain. Is that correct?
I would have suggested abstaining from the whole thing, but
okay.
Just due to the personal conflict.
Okay. Do we need to do anything with his vote now?
If you want to.
I will abstain. I do have a family member that works seasonal for the city. So therefore it could be potentially a conflict, so I will abstain.
Okay. And Mr. Shanklin's already voted, is that correct on this?
Mm-hmm.
All right. I believe we will need to do a vote to reconsider for him to change his vote. And so has everyone voted?
Mm-hmm.
All right, very good. So now what we need to do, in order to allow someone to change their vote, we need to have a motion to reconsider.
Move to reconsider.
Very good. Mr. Larson moves.
I'll second.
Mr. Spears seconds. So now the vote is to allow Mr. Shanklin to change his vote. We will also need to vote on his ability to abstain. So we're going to be in a voting groove here for a couple minutes.
I move that Mr. Shanklin be allowed to abstain from this.
All right. We need to, first of all, I believe, act on your motion to reconsider. All right. So let's vote on that first, and then we'll entertain your next motion.
And will Mr. Shanklin be voting on this?
The attorney says no.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, let's
Carr.
Proceed with the vote.
Then. Yes. Mosley.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
Hanward.
Yes.
Asparis.
Yes.
Orson.
Yes.
Very good. Now we will need to entertain a motion to allow Mr. Shanklin to abstain.
I move that we allow Mr. Shanklin to abstain from voting on Ordinance D-22.
So moved.
And a second from Mr. Mosley.
Second. Mosley.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
Hanward.
Yes.
Asparis.
Yes.
Shanklin. Larson.
Yes.
Carr?
Yes.
Same location.
Very good. I believe then we need to vote again on
moving to read
ordinance D22. That way the correct votes will be recorded. That's what we're going to do. So, all right.
Everyone's out of caution.
Ordinance D22. I move we place this ordinance on first reading.
Second.
Second. Ms. Carr.
Wilson?
Yes.
Handwerk?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Shanklin?
Abstain.
Abstain.
Larson?
Yes.
Carr?
Yes.
Mosley?
Yes.
Motion passed.
All right, now we can proceed as normal.
Ordinance D22. An ordinance establishing wages for part-time and seasonal employees of the city of Orrville and declaring an emergency.
All right, very good. Sounds like the city's going to have a help wanted sign posted here. Mr. McFerrin, would you like to share a little bit more information about this?
Sure. So the last piece of legislation that was passed to deal with seasonal employment and part-time employment was passed in 2008. At that time, council allowed the city to employ part-time and seasonal employees at a range of $8 to $15 an hour. That piece of legislation did just fine for 13 years. However, this year, we, through inflation, through increases, we have an employee who is actually going to surpass that $15 mark, and that would be the manager of our pool. Additionally, what we have found over the last several years is the city has struggled to attract part-time seasonal employees the way that we used to. So another thing that this will allow us to do is reach out to students that we are losing to internships to other communities, other cities, and other organizations. It'll also allow us to hire seasonal employees at maybe a higher skill and trade level than we have previously, who can give us 180 days of employment. The way the legislation is stated, we are asking council to allow us to hire people at 80% of pay grade 100. Pay grade 100 is the city's entry level laborer position. Traditionally throughout the city, anytime we hire a part-time employee, we have hired them at 80% of the pay rate for the classification that they are hired into. For example, Mr. D'Alessandro is in the room. Officer D'Alessandro started as a part-time police officer. He came into the ranks at 80% of the full-time wage, and that's still the way that we have structured the compensation plan. We're asking the council allow us to do the same thing for our summer help wages. So that's the basis for this legislation. The way that it's phrased hopefully means that I won't have to come back to you ever again because we've established the way that we pay part-time and seasonal employees. I'd be happy to answer any questions on this.
So it is changing the method by which we have to arrive at salaries for these part-time jobs.
Correct.
Yeah, Mr. Handwerk.
So would this adjust any of the current part-time seasonal, would those raise as well?
Yes, sir. So the current adult laborers that we have had for more than 2 years will be affected by this plan, who perform duties above the lawn tech position. Our lawn tech is a different classification than, say, our laborer positions. Our laborers, we count on to be craftsmen, to climb onto roofs to help repair roofs, to do concrete work, to assist with all the projects that are going on at the park, where previously that work has been reserved for purely our full-time employees. So it will allow us to pay them more, but get more back in return. I can think of one particular employee who's incredibly talented, very skilled, but he's limited in what we're allowed to use him for because we don't pay him for the right classification of work. So this will allow us to go out and get a more skilled workforce for our seasonal work pool.
Mr. Mosley.
Mr. McFerrin, thank you, Mr. President. Mr. McFerrin, what is the pay range for that pay grade 100 for the city when we're talking
about? It starts at $18.99. I don't have the top of that scale because it's irrelevant to this legislation.
Okay, so it starts at $18.99. What are they starting at now?
So 80% of that's going to be,
okay.
Let me go back. I'm not sure you asked the question that you wanted to. So the pay grade 100 starts at $18.99.
Okay.
Currently, our top paid laborer was at $13.66. This will actually allow us to bump that position to $15.19. So it's about a $2 increase or a $1.50 increase. However, it's a much more attractive rate. The thing that I hear from most people, parents, things like that, when I say, why doesn't your kid come work for us? Well, I can get $15 an hour at McDonald's, right? Well, you're not going to quite get $15 an hour here, but it's a much better job, much better resume, and I think a higher quality of work. So, Mr. Larson.
Mr. McFerrin, would you agree that probably the best thing about this is not only does it make us competitive right now in a really tight job market, but also going forward as pay grade 100 would increase through the years, so would 80% of pay grade 100. It's no longer tied to a specific number. It's tied to that grade that moves upward or downward, I would imagine.
I suppose that could happen, right?
It makes us more nimble. It gives us the ability to put people in the positions that we need to make the city function, and we're having a tough time doing that right now seasonally. As you all know, a lot of extra things get done during the summertime, and we depend on that. And it's a good tradition for students. But frankly, the student population decreases all the time. Mm-hmm. So to make it a competitive job for, let's say, retirees and whatnot is crucial. So thanks for bringing this legislation before us.
I would also like to use this platform to make a plea to the public. We hire about 12 seasonal employees at the park every year. It is April, and I have two. So I have 10 openings, and if you are interested in working for the city this summer, go to the city's website, the HR page specifically at Oroville.com, and you can download an application and submit it to HR. We would be happy to submit, review that and consider you for employment.
Thank you, Mr.
McGeer. Yes,
Mr. Spears.
Thank you. So the up to 80%, do you usually typically start real close to that 80%? Because if it's an up to that, or is it right at the 80?
So we have a structured compensation plan for seasonal employees. The laborer position actually starts at $13.12 an hour. 80% would be $15.19. The only person who would receive that 80% would be someone who is an adult and has been with the city for at least 4 years. So it would take 4 years to go from the bottom of the scale to the top of the scale. So it's still structured. I guess technically the first paragraph, the first section of the legislation does give the directors the leeway if there was somebody very qualified, someone we really wanted to get on, that we could negotiate that salary. But we do have a structure in place for the typical flow of hiring people on board.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions?
Mr. McFerrin, would you like to see this legislation pass this evening?
As soon as possible. Yes, please.
I had thought so.
All right. Thank you.
Very good. I don't hear any other further questions or comments, so Mr. Larson, you may proceed.
I move that the rules, regulations, and the statutes requiring the reading of the ordinance on three separate days be suspended.
Second. Second, Mr. Wilson.
Handrick.
Yes.
Ms. Ferris.
Yes.
Shanklin.
Abstain.
Larson.
Yes.
Carr.
Yes.
Mosley.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
Motion passes.
I move ordinance D-22 be adopted as read.
Second.
Second, Mr. Wilson.
Ms. Ferris.
Yes.
Shanklin.
Abstain.
Larson.
Yes.
Carr.
Yes.
Mosley?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Handwerk?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you.
Resolution 1722. I move this resolution be placed on first reading.
Second. Second, Mr. Handwerk.
Shanklin?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Carr?
Yes.
Mosley?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Handwerk?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Resolution 1722, a resolution authorizing the Director of Utilities and or the Public Utilities Board of Control to advertise for bids and enter into a contract and or contracts for the purchase of major hardware, software, and agreements of maintenance, support, and or consultation required by the City of Oroville and the Department of Public Utilities to comply with current software requirements and cybersecurity insurance regulations and declaring an emergency.
All right, very good. Any explanation would you like to offer
here? I'll offer some explanation on this. Ms. Grimlin did send out a letter and accompanying that was a memo from our IT manager, Jeff Fenningsdorf. We're looking at updating a number of our computer system networks, but what's really driving this is the position that we're at from a cybersecurity perspective. As you're aware, we go, the city and the utilities go through insurance reviews and renewals on an annual basis. And this year, a number of things have come under scrutiny, but one of those is where we stand with respect to cyber in that world, and the insurance agency has been turned on its head a couple of times. And our cyber insurance is at risk right now, mainly because of our, we don't have what they call two-factor authentication. Some of you may already have to use that, maybe to even get in your email, get into some of your finance accounts there, as opposed to just email and then putting in a password. The responding entity will, in order to verify that is actually you, they will either send or text you another number or a group of letters as a second level of security to do that. We do not have that. That is a must. With all of these folks right now. And this is requiring us to go back and take a look at a lot of our servers that we have. We've had a program in place and we have monies budgeted this year to update our network system. This is also coming into play with all of this, although the scope has expanded quite a bit. There's some best practices that we'll be integrating in with this program. And we're also finding out that in order to consolidate with our latest efforts to update our city's ERP system, that's our maintenance management software system, we're needing also to upgrade some servers. We have physical servers, we have servers through the cloud. We have a closed and open networks because of the power generation side of our business. So this is a very comprehensive program that we work at on an annual basis. This year we were just planning a lot more work. And again, I mentioned that our insurance carrier has put some additional burdens on us that's going to require some additional hardware. We may have to go back into a couple of our projects and maybe look at reallocating some funds because we're finding out not only are like everything else that starts with supply chain in front of it, we have long lead times, we have costs that are just going through the roof, and we have real long lead times. Our cyber insurance renews on May 1st. We're looking at options to see what we can do to have things in place with that. But that's, I think Jeff did a pretty nice job, assuming you can read cyber speak in his memo. But I'd be happy to answer any questions. I'll just stop talking here right now and see if anybody has any questions on this. Well, we do have this budgeted. Funds come out of the utility budget. Funds come out of the general city budget. For all this work. We do most of this work in-house. We have three guys in our IT group. Some of it is we do utilize some contractors, some consultants in this, but a bulk of that work, we have a centralized IT group that serves all the cities and utilities needs on that.
Mr. Brediger, would you say this is a blindside update that needs done, or would you say that we knew this was coming?
No, most of this we knew was coming. The cyber piece and to have the additional authentication piece, we were not prepared for that. We just found out about that last month.
Okay.
And that goes along with your insurance.
From our insurance carrier. So that's just another piece that got layered in on top of this here that we weren't planning on. But what we have been seeing just over as we started implementing these projects, starting to go out and getting quotes, we were finding out that people just weren't quoting us, or if they were, they were looking at some pretty exorbitant prices, some outlandish lead times, and we were finding some of the options that we were planning to do to save some money just weren't available to us anymore. So we were having to go out and deal with, I'll just say, some top shelf hardware that also took our cost into a little bit higher levels than we anticipated.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Mr. Wilson. Thank you. Does this change providers? If not, is it just an add-on for the...
There will be some service providers that will change as a result of some of these programs that will be implemented throughout the year. Yes, there will be. Those mainly that will be affected will be the folks we deal with out on the cloud.
And one other question that came to mind, does it have to be implemented in place before the May 1st deadline?
Some of this has to be, or else we'll be seeing some higher premiums until we have this in place. So we're going down a couple of different paths. One, trying to secure the hardware and having that implemented in time to meet that renewal date. And if we can't, we are working on a plan B to find some alignment with another carrier or carriers that will still provide us the cyber coverage we need, but we will be paying a little bit higher premium for that. So we're not too sure which one's going to get to the finish line first. This is a time-sensitive item for us, though.
Just a quick question. Is there any benefit through like AMP or a GPO or a state contract, anything that we have?
We utilize a lot of support from our state joint action agency, mainly to keep up a lot with best practices. Also, they've come in and done audits for us. They've done security checks for us, kind of acted as a bad guy. So yes, we utilize those folks on that. We will be bidding this work out, and we are using a lot of different resources and avenues in order to procure the equipment that we need. Like everything else that you're trying to lay your hands on these days, something that was readily available or that didn't have too terrible of lead times just over the past 3, 4, 5 months of just, we're going back and talking with them after we procured some budget numbers to put budgets together and appropriation numbers together, and then we go back 3, 4 weeks later and say, sorry, we're out of luck there, or we can only supply two. And it's like, you're IBM, okay? You're Cisco. We're dealing with top tier providers here that it's not just our issue there, but our best laid plans of we get around, implement them, go out, secure final bids, and come back and we find out that prices have changed and lead times have gone south on us. So nothing that we could have done in preparation for that other than the typical planning and budgeting we did for it. But we're in the implementation phase and trying to secure prices and finding out that we're seeing some other urgencies that are constraining some of our project budgets a little bit. So we'll rebound and we'll get there where we need to be. It's just going to take us a little bit more time than we expected.
Yes, Mr.
President. I have a quick comment for council. I did speak to a utility board member who obviously we rely on doing a lot of the heavy lifting with Mr. Brederick over there. He was fully on board with this piece of legislation. He did feel it was necessary for council's passage of it. As I said, it's definitely a project that they're taking on their side, and this is one of those things they need, you know, as you know, our support to pass this to help them do their job. So I can go on the utility board side.
I can very much identify with the situation that we're discussing here. My own employer, we're an insurance company. We provide this coverage. We also need it ourselves. And our own carrier said, we're getting hammered with cyber liability claims. You've got to do all of this stuff or we can't insure you. So it's the very same kind of treatment. And so everybody's in line for all this.
Yeah, and it's mainly the ransomware that's driving the authentication issue. There's other threats out there, but that's one of the bigger things that, that's driving the insurance companies to require this. And we've talked about it for a while. We just have not had that problem, and it's been optional up until this year. And what our consultants have told us that just about every insurance carrier upon renewal are making this a requirement. So.
Like so many other things, if you get a weird email, just pick up the phone. So many problems would be addressed that way. But they're getting really sophisticated. So, any other questions, comments?
I think we've all read and heard the horror stories when we don't react to these threats in a timely manner. And I think the time critical nature of this has been established well. I move that rules, regulations, and statutes requiring the reading of the resolution on three separate days be suspended.
A second.
Mr. Schenkel, seconds.
Morrison?
Yes.
Carr?
Yes.
Mosley?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Hambrick?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Shanklin?
Yes.
Motion passes.
I move resolution 1722 be adopted as read. Second.
Second, Mr. Wilson.
Carr?
Yes.
Mosley?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Hanward?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Shanklin?
Yes.
Orson?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you.
Resolution 1822. I move this resolution be placed on first reading.
Second.
Second, Mr. Mosley.
Mosley?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Hambrick?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Shanklin?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Carr?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Resolution 1822, a resolution declaring the necessity of constructing sidewalks on certain properties in the city of Orrville, Ohio.
Any questions or discussion? All right, very well.
Resolution 1922. I move this resolution be placed on first reading.
Second.
Second, Mr. Mosley.
Wilson?
Yes.
Hanford?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Shanklin?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Carr?
Yes.
Mosley?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Resolution 1922, a resolution establishing policies for Phase 4 of the Orrville Sidewalk Installation Program for the City of Orrville, Ohio.
Any questions, discussion on this first reading? Yes, Mr. Mosley.
Just have a comment with Resolution 1922, sir.
Mm-hmm.
A couple comments. This resolution is obviously related to the top piece, which is the construction of the sidewalks. This is the one that we kind of put together for accommodations for citizens out there to address to address concerns such as the financial concerns, as well as the different situations that each particular property requires. Obviously, there are still more conversations out there to be had for certain individuals at different areas of lots that we have in that area. This phase is a little bit different than the previous phases that we've had, just because of the larger nature size of the lots that we have in Phase 4. So what council have done is the last meeting we sat down and spoke with administration and kind of tossed a lot of different accommodations to address the concerns of citizens that really was, you know, burden to kind of help them out on that side. So I think that this is definitely a good tag along with the top legislation. This policy for Resolution 1922 is obviously different than phases 1 through 3, and in some, you know, cases it's definitely different. With that, I have nothing else, Mr. President.
I just wanted to clarify, you mentioned our last meeting, you meant the last transportation committee.
Yes, I'm sorry.
Yeah, where you led the group through a very thoughtful and thorough discussion of a number of issues that have been surfaced with this project. One item I wanted to clarify, we heard during public comment this evening that residents could potentially be forced to pay tens of thousands for their sidewalk program. Do we have any clarification on that number? Is that possible, or are the programs we put in place being addressed to, you know, help with that situation?
There are a few in that range, but of course, not, we did add in the low to moderate income qualifications, as well as with that requirement, not knowing whether or not some of those folks would be eligible for that program. It is hard to say whether or not they would get additional relief. And typically that $10,000 is after the city pays a large majority of that share as a result of Section 3 of the proposed resolution.
So one of the programs Mr. Mosley has mentioned is if somebody has an extraordinarily high portion, there is a formula that kicks in, and we also have programs available to help for people who have additional needs there too.
Yes, sir. And as well as the Section 1, where the city actually would pay for the installation of the curb ramps, whether that be us doing them on our own or contracting that out. But that also provides some relief on those corner lots that have significant sidewalks to install.
Yeah, there were programs discussed to give additional time to pay those as well. So if anybody has any questions about that, they can reach out to any member of council or a member of the administration to get additional information on that. Yes, Mr. Wilson?
Just one point of clarification. I'm thinking of, now we've had the timeline, we've had the open house, and we've had residents communicated what their cost is estimated to be. We've changed or added some relief, I'll call it, with this legislation. Mm-hmm. So should it pass, there could be a change for some citizens in that cost structure.
Correct.
How do we go back to communicate that to them? Do we initiate, or when they go to put it in, do they need to contact us? How do we communicate that?
So if, and I know council plans to have this go the full 30 readings, if after the 3 readings council decided to vote in the majority positively for the resolution, then as a result of that, the city would then send out letters to every property owner with making them aware of their 3-year requirement to install the sidewalks, or the city will install them. And we will also include this resolution in regards to the policies, the programs available, as well as a copy of the design itself, so that folks are aware of what their particular layout is for their particular property. So that it, kind of the whole package would be the next step if council decided to proceed.
So yes, that's good. So every resident will receive all of the programs and everything that's, all the assistance is available to them.
Yes, sir.
Okay, very good. All right, and as Mr. Wheeler mentioned, we do plan to go 3 readings, and so our second reading will be at our next meeting on May 2nd, followed by then the third reading on May 16th, which is where the final vote will be taken. So, any other questions, comments for this evening? All right, well, I know we've all been anxiously awaiting the real reason for us getting together tonight. So to hear our annual report from our finance director, Ms. Strimbley. So we're going to take a pause here, and then we will set up the room for that and regather for that report.
Right.